Third hour, best hour, baby. We thank you so much for being with us. I'm Damian Barling, along with Jason, Herbert, Walker, Ross. Busy third hour as we've got tickets to see the WWE Live, the Road to WrestleMania, February 10th at the Golden One Center. Now, tickets will go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m., but we have an opportunity for you to win them today here during this 2 o'clock hour. Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings is going to join us here in just a heartbeat. And Nate Lundy, host of the Fantasy Football Hour, our fantasy football expert, will help get you ready for the fantasy football playoffs at 2:30. Now, the Sacramento Kings are on the road. They're in New Orleans. But Garrett Temple is at home in Louisiana. Kings and the Pelicans tomorrow night. Garrett, what's the first thing you do when you get home and you separate from the team?
I actually got a nice bowl of gumbo in front of me right now, man.
Oh.
I usually would go home, but I'm a little tired, a little under the weather, so I'm a wait till I see all the family tomorrow, especially since some of the family's coming up to Sacramento this month. So, you know, just relax, man. Get some good food in me. Are you ready for the game?
Yeah, you had me at gumbo, Garrett. That's personally my favorite. And that, I think of any item is prepared differently than anywhere and all the time. People have different recipes. What's in your gumbo?
Well, I'm still trying to do my plant-based diet, my vegan. So I'm at a vegan spot, actually. And they have some root, okra, some peppers, kale, and eggplant. But usually I grew up on shrimp, sausage, crab, you got to put the perfect, you got to have the perfect roux. But those are the main ingredients.
Yep.
Shrimp, the crawfish. The
how about hot sausage
and the crab? Hot sausage. I mean, the sausage is if you want it hot or not, but usually we just put andouille sausage in it.
Yeah.
So you're on like a flexible vegan diet then?
No, he's sticking.
No, I told you. I said right now I'm at a vegan spot.
Oh, okay. Normally you say, okay.
I grew up on, had that in it.
See, y'all, me and Garrett are best friends. Y'all just don't know this, man, because I remember reading you watch What the Health. And that got you on this this plant-based deal. I've been a vegan. Me and my wife have been vegans for like 6 years now.
Really?
Yeah. So I was actually going to ask you, what do you eat when you go to a place like New Orleans and you're trying to stick to that diet?
Man, I had to go on Google and I typed in vegan restaurants and they sent me a spot right here. And I'm glad I found it because it's a spot called Seed. And it's amazing right now. Like this is my first time here. This gumbo is very, very good. And I'm looking forward to I might get they got an eggplant po' boy that I might get, or some other stuff. They even got beignets over here, man. So
wow.
Nice. I know, right? I know.
Wow. Nice. Well, let's get into the game last night, man. Hell of an effort against the Cleveland Cavaliers. What'd you think of Jakarr Sampson's play?
Man, Jakarr, I'm so happy for that guy, bro. He played his butt off. You know, been in the league a couple of years now. You know, I remember when he first came in the league, he was actually playing point guard for Philadelphia. You know, he was big, so that just shows you his versatility. But you know, he's always been a guy that's very athletic, very active. So he was perfect for you know his size, his athletic ability, and his attitude was perfect. You know, the perfect guy to guard LeBron for us. You saw what he did against Giannis when he got in the game against him in Milwaukee. So that was great for us to have him. And, you know, I'm just so proud of how well he did, rebounded the ball, just provided so much energy for us. You know, he deserved to be in his league.
You know, Garrett, we've been saying most of the show that we felt this wasn't a case in which you guys gave that game away. I thought you guys played well enough to win winning basketball, really. But it was a legend in LeBron James that saved his best for last. Maybe the last 3 minutes of execution wasn't the sharpest, but besides that, I thought you guys had a really strong performance. What did you think about you guys really from quarter one all the way to the finish against the Cavs?
Yeah, I think we had a pretty good performance, actually. I think as a team, we moved the ball really well offensively, which is something that, you know, that we needed to continue to improve on, and we did a great job of that. Defensively, we forced LeBron himself into 7 turnovers. You know, we turned him over pretty well. You know, and I think, you know, those last three minutes really count, though, man. You know what I'm saying? So if you're trying to play winning basketball, that's winning time. And, you know, we had a couple of slip-ups defensively and then, you know, shot clock violations, things of that nature. But, you know, we played almost a full game. And like you said, LeBron hit a bunch of tough threes in the fourth quarter. that you know, and that last one really was a dagger.
Garrett Temple of the Sacramento Kings with us here on the Lowdown. Garrett, a lot of Kings fans wonder about, like, rotations within games. And I want to ask you, I'm not asking you to pick apart the rotation, but I do want to ask you, how much of a game plan is based off, or do you think a game plan is based off what you guys do in practice as opposed to what we see in games?
I think it depends on the coach, honestly. Some coaches don't practice, you know, so I think it depends on the coach, and most of the time I think it's what actually happens in the game. Now, if some people are just not having, you know, are struggling in games, and another guy that's, you know, behind them is playing well in practice and hasn't had a shot to play in the game, then that's when, you know, what someone does in practice shows, maybe gives them a chance to get on the court. But I think the rotation itself, as long as guys are playing pretty steady, I think it really determines what happens. I think the game really determines what happens in terms of, you know, the minutes. But like you said, you know, if a guy's not playing well and a guy in practice is, you know, really killing, doing his thing, competing hard, then Coach Yeager's the type of coach that's going to give him a chance. And, you know, you love that about him.
Garrett, I know last week when we talked, you had mentioned before getting another look at Milwaukee that you're going to maybe talk to Coach about getting an opportunity to try to guard Giannis. I see that didn't really pan out. Did you talk to Coach about that?
Yeah, I didn't talk to Yeager specifically. I talked to a couple of assistants, and you know, we changed up the lineup. You know, Willie being 7 foot, being able to move like a guard, that's a good matchup for us as well. He just, you know, got a little injured. But I think Bogey did a great job on him when he was guarding him. I think Jakar did a great job on him. You know, I'm the type of guy that thinks I can guard anybody. So I'm going to say, put me on Shaq, I'll front him, you know, the post type stuff. But obviously it's his decision at the end of the day, and we roll with whatever decision he makes.
Well, you got another difficult matchup. No break for you guys is you got DeMarcus Cousins, who put up an absolutely ridiculous stat line last night. Again, by the way, it's the second time he's put up a 40-20 this season. Any idea of what you guys might look like defensively going into tomorrow night's game against New Orleans?
Not yet. We're gonna have a shoot around, and we're gonna talk about what exactly we want to do. Obviously, because is really aggressive without AD being in the game. And, you know, him and Drew Holiday really carry him right now. Offensively, Drew's been playing great on the offensive end as well in the last 5 games. So those are going to be the vocal points, obviously, the focal points. And, you know, we got to find a way to get the ball out of DeMarcus' hands. We know what he loves to do, but it's tough to stop. So we're going to go over some things that shoot around tomorrow and come up with a game plan.
Garrett, we've talked about this season is about growth, getting better. We're seeing improvement on the road. You're more competitive. You won a few more road games, had a couple of road wins in a row. There's less long droughts of poor play. Are you sensing team-wide improvement from where you guys were game one?
No question. And like you said, obviously winning shows that, but also just throughout the game. Like I said, in Cleveland, we did a great job of moving the ball on offense. You know, I missed a couple. 3 wide open jumpers in the first half, in the first quarter. You know, we're getting the shots we want, and we're moving the ball well. And I think when you see us starting to play that way and then defend the way we're starting to defend, which is something that I think we've been doing a pretty good job of over the last month and a half, that it shows progress, man. And it shows that guys are really starting to settle in and understand, you know, how to play the game with the people on the court with them. So, you know, that's positive for us, and we got to continue to grow. We got to continue to grow.
Is shooting free throws a lost art in the NBA? Because just looking at you, I mean, it wasn't just Sacramento. I mean, but both teams did not shoot free throws well last night.
Yeah, both teams are terrible from the line. I think it is, man. You know, just I would love to look at the stats. You know, the overall league average of free throw percentage and see what the difference is. But you would, you know, after seeing basketball for the last 20, 25 games beginning of the season, you may think that it is a lost art. I don't know.
Yeah. Garrett, I want to go back to even that Milwaukee game. I know I asked you about Giannis. The other part that was weird about that game since we last talked, that opening couple of minutes, Dave Yeager kind of did that old trick where he took all five of you guys out and put another five in. Was something said then, or was it just you guys knew it and you guys were struggling and they made the switch? And when you guys came back in, you played well. But what was that scenario like and how was that handled?
I loved how it was handled. I'm a big believer of, you know, a guy that just is straight up, does what he believes is right. You know, I'm a big believer in the quick timeout. You know what I'm saying? I played under Pop, so I'm a big believer in, hold up now. We said we were going to do this defensively in the first play. We didn't, you know, that type of stuff. So take us all out. We weren't playing well. And, you know, the second unit did a great job of getting us back in the game. And so I'm glad we didn't really – it wasn't much to say. I think the actions spoke louder than anything, any word he would have said. So, and like you said, when we got back out there, we played a lot better. So I was a big fan of the move.
Your boys are playing tonight. Are you watching the game alone? You just watching it in the hotel room? What are you doing?
I guess you're talking about my Tiger.
I'm talking about your Saints.
Saints Falcons, your big rival.
What's today?
It's Thursday night.
Oh, I see these Thursday night games, man. That's not.
See?
And it's too bad it's in Atlanta.
I don't know the day of the week. It's a football game.
It's Thursday night football, man. The Saints and the Falcons.
We need to go ahead and get this win so we can clinch a playoff spot. You know, it was a big win for us last week against Carolina, another division opponent. We need to go ahead and get this win in Atlanta. That's going to be a big game. I'm definitely going to be watching it by myself, yeah. Definitely going to be watching it at the hotel, watching it, tuned in. We need this win, bro. I'm glad Philly finally lost, but I need them to lose some more.
Well, they got the Rams this weekend. They might.
We're having a great season, but we're the fourth seed in the NFC with a great season. Come on, man. I need the Rams and the Eagles to lose, and Minnesota, like all of them.
Well, man, you asking for a whole lot. The Rams and the Eagles, the Rams and the Eagles can't lose this weekend because they're playing each other. But one of them's going to lose. Yeah. So that's
one of them going to lose. Okay, yeah, that's good.
Are you the type of fan that yells at the TV?
Nah. My mom, on the other hand, though. Oh my God, she's in any sport yells at the TV, talks about what play should have been ran, and yeah, she's the ultimate sports fan. One story about my mom: after we lost. After we weren't in the playoffs, I came home watching, I think, the Atlanta Hawks versus somebody. I want to say Indiana in the playoffs. And my mom was watching the game, and my head was turned, and she was reciting stats. She said, well, Paul Millsap is 4-16. He can't make anything else over doing this, blah, blah. I'm thinking, do they have all the stats on the screen? I turn around, no stats on the screen. I look at her. She has her phone with the NBA app. That's my mom for you when it comes to any sport, basketball or football. So, yeah, I'm not the screen yeller, but she definitely is.
That's fantastic. Awesome. Go follow Garrett Temple on Instagram. You can watch him listening to the fabulous Jadakiss album over and over and over again.
It's amazing, isn't it?
Garrett, you've been on that one for a couple weeks, man.
Man, I'm loving it, Joe. It's only been out for about a week, man. Week and a half. Come on now.
Okay. All right. I give you that.
I've been on it since it came out. No question.
Okay. All right.
And I'm reading an amazing book right now, Damian.
Yep.
Called Blood Brothers, man. The relationship between Malcolm X and Muhammad Ali. Must read if you're interested in those two legends. Must read. I'm enthralled in it right now.
Okay, I'm on that one, man. I'm gonna get that one next. I was listening to a book from Michael Eric Dyson right now, the Georgetown professor.
I know him. I met him when I was in D.C. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Kara's gonna go speak in his sociology class at Georgetown. He sent his book to us, man. So I'm kind of getting through that one. I'm almost done with it. But Blood Brothers, that'll be next on my list, man.
Bet.
We appreciate you, Garrett. Enjoy being at home. Get that win tomorrow night, and we'll see you Sunday at the Golden One Center.
Sounds good, fellas. Thanks for having me again.
Thank you, man.
That is Garrett Temple of your Sacramento Kings. I love the vision of his mom.
Yes.
Like, looking at the phone, like, hey, player.
Yeah. Stop shooting.
You're missing free throws. You're like, well, what is happening right here? What's going on with the team?
Yeah. We need Garrett as a king for life.
Oh, man, he just he gets it.
Yeah,
man, he gets it, and You didn't hear him. You know, he's not the guy you're going to – like, I love – you know, you could generally get a feel for a player. You brought up that that was a gutsy question, by the way. The question about the what happened at the Bucks, the beginning of the Bucks game.
Mm-hmm.
Because some people wouldn't feel the way that Garrett did.
Yeah.
And that they're all for – hey, you know, I'm all for that. You're not – if you're not producing, get out. Some guys would be like, nah, that's a little bit embarrassing. Mm-hmm. Nah, you got to let us work through it. Nah, we got to do this, do that. That was a gutsy question on your part, because I feel like that. But Garrett's not the guy who's going to overreact right to something like that. I don't think you could ask. I don't know how Willie would react to that question.
Yeah, maybe.
Or whoever one of the other, you know, I don't know if Willie started that game, but whoever one of the other starters.
And maybe time was on the side, too. It's been a little bit. Like,
sure.
It wasn't that moment or that night or the next day. It's been a little bit. But, yeah.
Right.
But interesting his response. He likes the quick timeout. He likes if guys aren't performing, take them out. And then the best part about it, the whole thing is, as he said, when they came back in, they played better.
Right.
So, I mean, guys have bad stretches. That's the reality of the sport. But that was the whole five. They were really bad. Coach said, no, 3 minutes in, you're out. Next group played better. And then when they came back, they did fine.
I think if you – it's so funny how many athletes you talk to, particularly basketball players who play all week, that don't know the day of the week.
That's very true. I mean, that we run into that a little bit, but you kind of know it by, hey, we're previewing Thursday night football. But there's other times like, wait, where? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'm sure athletes,
I mean, when
where
the summer,
are we?
Yeah, when the summer is here
yeah.
and we're not, you know, not everything that we've done isn't based off, you know, we pretty much know what we're doing every single Monday for, you know, 17 straight
yeah.
weeks, right? We have a feel for what Thursdays and Fridays will look like. But once the summer gets here, like, what day? Like,
yeah.
we don't have, you know, we have no Nate Lundy to do fantasy football. We don't have Sacramento Kings players on. We're, you know, just kind of putting things together. And, yeah, very, very often it could be like, man, today's Thursday, right? Like, no, players Tuesday.
Yeah, the one that I know hit me, I've traveled with the Kings, not as much, but it's been in smaller chunks when I used to travel with the Monarchs more so. And there was maybe a 4 or 5 game trip. And then you'd get back to the hotel and you go, wait, 3:10? 8:12? What room am I in? Like, no, that was in Indianapolis. That was my room there. What? I don't even know what room I'm in.
Oh, yeah.
Where like, you bounce from city to city and you went, I was on the fourth floor. No, that was too. I can't find my room. Where am I? Am I in the right hotel?
I've never had that. I've never had that problem before because I've never traveled that much. But I know members of your Sacramento Monarchs entourage that you traveled with ran into the same issues. I've gotten many phone calls like I'm standing in the lobby because I have no idea. Yeah. I have 4 room keys in my bag, and they all say Marriott. I don't know which one is mine or which room I'm supposed
Surprise.
To walk into. By the way, these hotels that the NBA players stay in, for the love of everything, they're gorgeous.
Nice.
Oh, they're. Yeah. I am visiting Los Angeles this weekend, and the hotel that the Wizards are staying in, I wouldn't even dream
Which
about.
Which one is it, do you know?
Montage.
Oh, I don't think I've been there.
It's in Beverly Hills.
Okay.
Like a block away from Rodeo. I would never even contemplate looking. I looked at the price out of curiosity.
Yeah.
There were 4 numbers there
not
for the
counting,
night.
Not counting the cents.
Not counting the cents, exactly. Okay. There were 4 numbers before the dot.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm like, whoa.
Oh, Wizards are
really?
Rolling.
Are you guys overdoing it? Like, do you have to stay here?
Right. And I used
That's
to
NBA money, man.
The first time, you know, I had a chance to travel with the team a little bit, and then people that have been around, like, hey, it's a hotel room. There's 4 rooms and a TV and a bed. I'm like, yeah, in definition,
but it's not.
But I don't stay in places like this. And there's an extra room just because.
Right, a Tempur-Pedic bed that's adjustable.
Yeah.
And no
shower, bath, walk-in closet. Like. Sure, I'll stand over here for a little bit.
There's actually a masseuse there that you just, hey, can you just wave them on out?
Mm-hmm.
It's a different world, man.
It is.
It is an entirely different world. I always love the response on the text line after our conversations with Garrett Temple. We're going to have another conversation in about 10 minutes with Nate Lundy of the Fantasy Football Hour, our fantasy football expert. Most of you should be in the playoffs right now. If you didn't make the playoffs, Nate's really good for daily fantasy advice as well. I'm not sure if this is going to be our last conversation with Nate Lundy, maybe our second to last. I'm not really sure, but this fantasy football thing is winding down pretty quick, as is. A lot of teams can clinch playoff spots this weekend.
Feels early, but
Philadelphia, can clinch a playoff spot.
This would really help
I think there's
New
like
Orleans.
I was going to say, I think there's like 4 of them, but Philadelphia is the only one you win, you clinch.
New England probably.
Yeah, New England is another one. New England hasn't lost since I think it was October 1st. It was the Carolina game. Carolina beat them 33-30. They haven't given up more than I think 17 points since that day. Remember they had the worst defense in the league for like 5 or 6
weeks.
Yeah,
most points allowed.
And now not so much.
Right. I think Pittsburgh's in the same spot, right? Then weren't they 2-2 and have won since?
Were they 2-2?
I think so.
I feel like we were never paying attention to what they were doing. Yeah, it's like because we were focused on Antonio Brown throwing water coolers, Le'Veon Bell wanting the ball more, Ben Roethlisberger not having it anymore. Now we got another Steeler distraction. We got the Juju. We got all of that stuff that went on in Cincinnati. Roethlisberger said yesterday, I mean, all but said, we don't even respect Cincinnati.
Mm.
He praised
Baltimore more
right.
So. Yeah.
He was praising Baltimore and talking about, because that's who they have this week. It's the Steelers and the Ravens this week. And,
by the way, in fact,
here's what Ben had to say yesterday about that rivalry.
When you play Baltimore, you're going to get your head knocked off. They're going to knock your head off. You're going to try and knock theirs off, but you're going to help them up and respect it and say, hey, great job. Let's go at it again. It's kind of fun playing that kind of football game. I mean, it's not fun in the sense that your body hurts, but it's fun in the sense that there's a lot of respect between the two teams. I think there's always been I don't want to say a hatred because you want to beat that guy, but it's just like two kind of friends going at it in the playground. You know, you battle each other out. At the end of the day, you shake hands and you say, hey, looking forward to next year. You know, it just there's always been that respect there, I think.
And that when you read between the lines, that was a shot at Cincinnati.
Absolutely. And by the way, Pittsburgh was 3-2. They won 7 in a row. It was Minnesota that was 2-2.
Wow.
And now 10-2. They won 8 in a row, too. So you got a 7-game win streak for Pittsburgh, 8 for New England, 8 for Minnesota. And Philly
we were just coming off a win streak from Philly.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. The season's winding down. Fantasy football playoffs are here. Nate Lundy, host of the Fantasy Football Hour, joins us next. Nate Lundy, the Fantasy Football Hour, is going to join us here in just a few minutes. We'll also have tickets to WWE Live Road to WrestleMania, February 10th. I feel like I just can't read it, Road to WrestleMania.
Yeah, got to add to it.
I have to try to say it like Vince McMahon. That's February 10th at the Golden One Center. Tickets are on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m., but we got a pair for you here before we get out of here at 3 o'clock. It's funny, I just walked out, and Doug and I are both downloading the book that Garrett Temple recommended. The Blood Brothers book. Doug and I were both. He's like, man, I'm downloading that book right now.
Yeah.
DC says he listens to a lot of books when he drives back and forth to San Francisco. Why did they move that to San Francisco, by the way? Remember it used to be in like Rancho Cordova?
Yeah. I don't know why they still couldn't have like the Sacramento branch, right, of that. Because I know there's a lot of other stuff that they do over there, all the other shows, but the Kings are here.
Yeah, Sacramento.
Be easier on...
James, a lot of people,
certainly on Doug.
Doug will be up in about 30 minutes or so. Happy to bring in our fantasy football expert, host of the Fantasy Football Hour. One, is it Nathan or Nathaniel?
Oh, it's Nathan. No, man. If you're mad at me, you call me Nathaniel. Otherwise, you leave those extra syllables off. It's just Nathan.
Well, he's Nate Lundy. He's at Nate Lundy on Twitter. The fantasy football playoffs are here for most people. Are you getting a lot of frantic messages today with Matt Ryan as the quarterback?
Yeah, I'm getting a lot of those. It's also pretty funny because occasionally people will hit me up on Twitter that, you know, maybe a month and a half ago they were calling me names, and now all of a sudden they're back at me asking questions. So those are always fun. But, yeah, you know, you can I can always kind of envision through the keyboard – through the tweet, you know, somebody that's kind of got the shakes because, you know, now's when it starts to get real.
Well, it's real for a lot of people tonight, too, because if it is playoffs, like we said, not only Matt Ryan, but how about Drew Brees, who's always one of the better fantasy quarterbacks, but we know, Nate, it's been different. If you have other options, do you look at someone else or do you still play a guy like Drew Brees tonight?
Yeah, this is one of those that's kind of weird. Was just talking about it off the air that, you know, this is one of those where I don't feel like he's going to go off in the game tonight, but if he did, I wouldn't be surprised. This is the highest over-under of the week. I think Vegas has it. The last time I checked was at 54.5. So it is a big-time over-under. They're expecting a lot of scoring in this one. But at the same time, you've seen what the Saints have done, and it's been good for them as a team, which is balancing things out. They're not relying on Drew Brees the way they have in years past. And despite all that, he still sits up in the top five in the league in terms of passing yards. And so, you know, this is one where there's probably a few options that I would like better, but at the same time, this should be a shootout tonight. It just may be a shootout where suddenly we're seeing the Saints running the ball. Mark Ingram is expected to play despite the toe injury, and obviously Alvin Kamara has been just a gift to them offensively.
You can get your questions here for Nate Lundy to our text line, 44-11-40. We'll get as many answered as we can, and listen closely because we like to combine a lot of questions. A lot of are coming in about Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard has not performed over the last few weeks. What do you think about him in a playoff situation?
You know, we talked about Jordan actually on the Fantasy Football Hour this week on the TV show, and we did it with our panic meter. And I had Jordan Howard basically second from the top of the panic meter. I think owners have every right to think that not only have they been disappointed all season, but that they're going to probably continue to be disappointed because of the matchups that Chicago has. So there are some better options out there. Some of them may surprise you. You could be talking about, you know, even a guy like Mike Davis, who has emerged for Seattle as a strong running back possibility. Those are guys that you know, you never thought you were going to be talking about in August, and chances are you didn't even know they existed in August, and now all of a sudden they're the ones making the difference.
Are you going to give me Alfred Morris yet?
Yes. I am, actually, because of the matchup this weekend. Yes, I will finally give you Alfred Morris. But as a lifelong Cowboy hater, it is very difficult for me to do that because my emotion gets in the way because I just can't stand that team, and I can't stand Jerry Jones. But at the same time, it's not my job to throw the emotional side of it into it. It's my job to try to help you win. So, yes, I will finally give you Alfred Morris.
There we go.
Nate, the loss of Gronk this week does what for the tight end position and maybe more importantly for New England's fantasy options?
Well, I think we've seen, you know, New England's found ways to win without Gronk before. So I certainly think they can continue to find ways. They've got Chris Hogan back. And remember, prior to him getting hurt in week 8, and he's been out since then, but prior to that, Chris Hogan was a top 20 wide receiver in fantasy. So having him back, it's not like, you know, they're bringing on somebody who hasn't played at all this year. He's just been out with the injury. Now he's expected to be back. So I think they can work him into it. What it does do, though, is it sends a lot of you as fantasy owners scrambling to the wire, because in a lot of cases, I know I'm this way, I usually don't carry a backup tight end. I'm usually using those bench spots for, you know, a running back, for wide receivers, maybe even for an extra quarterback or something. And so what's happening is we're seeing a lot of guys that are having to go to the waiver wire to figure out where they're going to get an answer at the tight end position. And it's been a struggle for people because if you didn't do it right away, you may be left scraping the bottom of the barrel.
Alex Smith and the Kansas City Chiefs had a big week fantasy-wise last week. They got the Raiders. That's got to be an appealing matchup for guys like Alex Smith, Tariq Hill. Travis Kelce, is that a good go this week?
Yeah, it is. Oakland's actually giving up the ninth most points to the quarterback position. Obviously, Alex Smith went ham last week. What was it, 366 and 4 touchdowns. Here's the interesting thing, by the way, if you're an Alex Smith owner. It's not just the matchup this weekend, but Alex Smith in the fantasy playoffs. So this weekend, weekend 14, 15, and 16, all three games for the Chiefs are at home, and their opponents are Oakland, the Chargers, and the Dolphins. So if there was ever an opportunity for Alex Smith to help you win a fantasy championship, it is sitting right here being delivered on a silver platter for the next 3 weeks.
So Breeze tonight or Alex Smith Sunday?
Ooh, man. You know what? I'm going to go with Breeze, but it's going to be close because I think Alex Smith has a really good matchup in this. They need to prove something. I think Andy Reid needs to prove something. Otherwise, the Chargers are going to run away with that division.
The phrase Alex Smith could lead you to a fantasy championship has never been uttered.
Oh, I know. Like, not even for me. I mean, 3 or 4 shots of tequila, and I probably wouldn't even say that.
Jason just died a little bit
inside.
Yeah, a little
bit inside. In that same game, how about the Raiders? Conversely, you know, we know the Kansas City Chiefs have been giving up some points. They've got some secondary issues. Peters is out. Amari's not 100%. We know you're not a huge fan of him, but is Crabtree or anyone else a decent play for the Raiders?
Yes, and I want to see Crabtree come out on the field with like 6 different gold chains. And I mean, seriously, it's like, you remember when you used to, like, somebody in the neighborhood would lose a dog and they'd put those signs up on the telephone pole and you had those little tabs you'd pull off? That's what I want to see out of Crabtree, just like multiple chains. That way, if somebody pulls him off, he's just got another one ready to go.
Backups.
This is going to be a big time. This is a big time game for Crabtree. I think he goes off in this game, so that benefits Carr. You're right. I mean, Kansas City's defense was already suspect, and now you're going to try to play without Peters because of the suspension. Yes, I think this is. I think this game has sneaky shootout appeal because I think Kansas City's got something to prove, and Oakland's defense has not been good. And on the flip side of it, I think Oakland sees an opportunity because right now nobody seems to want to win the AFC West other than the Chargers. And so these two teams are going to be battling in KC.
You mentioned the Chargers a couple of times, Nate. Are you comfortable going with Phillip Rivers moving forward?
Yeah, I think I am. Obviously, Keenan Allen has been great here over the course of the last few weeks. And Melvin Gordon, after being somebody that I think we were down on a little bit, you know, there were some tough matchups and things for him. Over the last 3 weeks, he's averaging 20 carries a game. He's also racked up, like last week, he had 4 catches. So I think what's happened is they're starting to utilize him more. The Chargers are surging. And when that happens, a guy like Melvin Gordon's really appealing because I think he has a high floor because of the catches he's going to get, especially if you're in a PPR league. He's got some points that you can almost just take to the bank that you know he's going to hit a certain point total for you, and then it's just a matter of does he find the end zone once, does he find it twice for you to be able to really rack up the points. But I like what the Chargers are doing, and like we've talked about before, you take the first 4 weeks of the year, they lost all 4 games, but 3 of them were by a combined 7 points. This is a team that is better than what their record has shown. They're a decent field goal kicker away, frankly, from sitting at, say, 8-4 right now instead of 6-6.
How about that shiny new toy, that quarterback in New York, this guy Eli Manning who's starting this week? Is he worth a play?
He finally gets his job back. You know what? Probably not. I mean, I think it probably helps out a guy like Evan Ingram just because, you know, Ingram has been a great tight end option all year long. As I said, he's a wide receiver that just happens to have the TE designation next to his name. You know, I don't know that necessarily we see Eli Manning suddenly go nuts as though he has something to prove. There's still just not a lot of offensive weapons right now on that team. But you know, it is going to be nice. It is going to be nice to see him back. You know, maybe with a slight smirk on his face, like his older brother would have, knowing that his coach has been fired for making what was obviously one of the dumbest moves in the last 20 years of the NFL.
It would be so great if Eli uttered the line "idiot coach."
I'd be all right with it. I'd be all right with that.
To match Peyton's old idiot kicker line from back in the day.
Oh yeah.
You mentioned over-unders a few minutes ago. I think that was in pertaining to the Raiders and Chiefs. Any other ones that you really like this week, games that people should watch?
Well, like I said, I think that the Chiefs and the Raiders game has the potential to be that way simply because of the fact that both of these teams have something to prove and neither one of them has really had a defense that has been incredibly impressive. I've actually been more fascinated when it came to the lines this week at some of the ones that were a lot lower than I might have expected them to be. I would think that after what we've seen out of Minnesota and Carolina and what Case Keenum's done, but Cam Newton is all over the place in terms of his consistency. That over-under sits at 40, so some of them are, frankly, a lot lower than I would have expected. Philadelphia and the Rams, I think, has the ability to go over. They're sitting at 48. And, you know, beyond that, they're all kind of middle of the pack this week, guys. Lots of mid-40s. I think with, you know, some playoff berths and wild card kind of things on the line, I think that Vegas is a little bit nervous about where some of the scoring may come from.
Nate, who would you say is the fantasy football MVP this year?
Man, see, and this is where it gets interesting for me because there are guys that look at that and they say, you know, total points that are scored. To me, when it comes to a fantasy MVP, I like a guy that maybe you got for a bargain that just completely outperformed what anybody would have expected. For example, right now, if you take the last 7 weeks in the NFL, the last 7 games that have taken place, Josh McCown is the number 3 quarterback in the entire league. So here's a guy that you probably picked him up off the waiver wire after a couple of weeks, and he may wind up guiding you to a championship like we were joking about with Alex Smith. I think that when it came to the rookie running backs, there was a lot of attention, and rightfully so, paid to, you know, whether we're talking about a Kareem Hunt jumping in, a Dalvin Cook, and yet here came Alvin Kamara over the course of the last few weeks. I'm really a fan of the guys that when it comes to fantasy that you didn't have to use a first or a second round pick on, but are performing at a first or second round pick level. You know, Jared Goff has done that for a lot of guys this year as well. You know, there were people that were so nervous about him based on what they saw last year, and here he is putting up points for a Rams team that's shown some resurgence. So those, to me, are the guys that stand out, bargain picks that wound up really driving your team.
Nate, I was thinking maybe this is the last visit, but I'm not ready to say goodbye. I think we got to do one more next week. We got to do one more for what's going to be most people's semifinals, I think, and then you have to turn them loose on their finals. But we got to do one more, man. We're not ready to say goodbye.
I'll tell you what, let's lock it in. We'll talk next week, and then what we'll do is much the way that those of us that have had older kids, you know, eventually you ship them off to college and you lock the door behind them. That's what we'll do. That's what we'll do for everybody for week 16. But let's do it next week for sure.
Nate Lundy, dad of the year, folks.
Yes.
Dad of the year. We appreciate you, buddy. Thanks as always.
You got it, guys.
All right. That's at Nate Lundy, by the way, on Twitter. Boy, there are a lot of nervous nervous people
time.
Out there. But this question, I don't know if it's come up from the same person or multiple people, Carson Wentz or Matt Ryan. I know it's tough. I feel like everyone is – I think we're getting, like, playoff time for most people.
Yeah.
We're overthinking things.
Yeah.
I feel like Matt Ryan is a terrible matchup tonight.
Yeah, and if you were debating, I would always go with what got you there, which is Carson Wentz.
And Matt Ryan hasn't been very good all season, speaking from experience.
I was gonna say, you know something about that.
He's been – and I don't have another quarterback. My quarterback, Matt Ryan, was my other quarterback. I had Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson and Ezekiel Elliott were going to take me to a one-loss year to the championship, and I was going to take everybody's money and walk around like the million-dollar man Ted DiBiase.
Yeah.
And then I lost them both.
Well, that's what's – I mean, it's interesting about the sport, but even about fantasy, as Nate just said, like, if you had somewhere on your roster McCown for some reason and Alvin Kamara and you just went with those, you'd be doing great. And you're like, your team's terrible. Not now.
We'll get out of the fantasy aspect and talk Thursday night football, the Saints at the Falcons. We got some stats for that. It's going to be a long night for Atlanta's defense, potentially. Plus, WWE tickets next. Tickets to WWE Live Road to WrestleMania February 10th at the Golden One Center go on sale tomorrow at 10 a.m. through your Ticketmaster outlet. You hear that theme song, AJ Styles right there. AJ Styles is going to be there along with Kevin Owens, Baron Corbin, Charlotte Flair, The New Day, The Usos, and Shinsuke Nakamura, all scheduled to be on the card. Tickets start as low as $20. It's going to be a Friday night show, too, man. That'll be a lot of fun. But since the lowdown's got the hookup, holla if you hear me. With WWE, we're going to give these tickets away to you right now. 916, if you don't know the area code, 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. I'm already thinking about tomorrow morning.
Yep.
You got your alarm set? How many alarms do you set to wake up? Do you set, like, four?
I'll need multiples because I'm a...
And they're 10 minutes apart?
Yeah. No, they're like 2 minutes apart.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got to be alerted and awake and go. Hey, whoa, time to get up.
What time will you wake up tomorrow morning to host? As Jason and I would be professional to explain this to you, Jay Ross and I are going to take the lowdown to the AM while Carmichael Dave is hanging out with DeMarcus Cousins and the crew there in New Orleans. We will host the drive for you tomorrow and Monday, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. 4:45, 4:30.
Does it hurt you to say that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot. There's something different about that four. Like if I said five.
Did you know? Oh, that's very true.
Like if I just said get up at five and like go and get here at 5:15, mm-hmm. that's probably doable too. But
did you know that 4:45 came around twice a day?
I don't see one of them.
Never. Yeah. When was the last time you saw the other 4:45?
I've seen it, yeah. But not for, reasons. Not good. Nothing bad. Just, yeah. I don't like to get up that early.
I see
sounds
that.
Like you have a story, Jason.
It's dark out.
Yeah, this is an absolute truth. Jason Ross He does not like the dark.
No.
We've done a couple of shows, and it's gotten dark outside. It really bothers Jason.
Yeah.
Like it's
or when it's dark when we've started the show, when we did a couple of the AMs before.
Yeah.
Where's the sun?
I think we did AMs last Christmas
time.
Like
yeah.
Every Christmas time we seem to be
our thing.
Doing, I guess it's our gift to the world.
A tradition unlike any other.
So that'll be tomorrow and Monday, 6 a.m. And, of course, we expect each and every single one of you to wake up with us because you are 98%, 99 really percent,
yeah.
Sometimes 99. So this week I feel like you've been 99.5% of the show given some of the conversations we've had. So everybody set your alarm. You don't have to wake up at 4:45 because you don't have to be here at the studio, but we'd appreciate it if you set your alarm for 5:50. Got up, get coffee or, you know, do whatever you do in the morning and turn us on.
Why do I feel like you're going to get up at 3 and work out?
That's not happening.
No? What time are you going
to
get up?
I'll probably get up closer to like 3:30.
3:30?
Well, I want to make sure everything is ready for you when you get here.
Well, what time do you get here? Like 5? 4:45?
Well, a little after 5. I got two little doggies I got to take care of. They're going to be off their routine. It's not going to be a fun day for the girls tomorrow. Because they're very accustomed to eating at a certain time. Yeah. So they're going to get fed a little bit at 4 o'clock, and then I'll get home, feed them a little bit more.
That'll be weird when you're home earlier.
Oh, that'll be, when we're home at 9 o'clock, that's going to be strange. Yeah.
Like I'll be waking up around 8:30.
Nobody asked. Who are you?
Got some breakfast.
You can bring it in.
No, I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. You're not working out before the show?
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. What time are you going to bed? That's probably the better.
Yeah, I have no idea. As long as I can get this show put together for you so you're happy with it. I don't know.
Why go to bed?
That's the hard thing is putting the show together. Like this 3 hours is a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Like I love every second of this three hours. But the hours that lead into these 3 hours are very stressful for me. Because I'm a planner. Despite the fact that we often wing it, it's not purpose. Like we have a structure in front of us. We just often don't go by it. And sometimes that's because of text or phones or spirited conversations.
Or breaking news.
Or Chris says something stupid and it gets us off. Or we say something stupid and Chris gets mad at us and it just sets off. I can tell you this. The Family Matters conversation was not planned.
Yeah.
Some of our best conversations were never, ever planned.
Yeah.
We'd have a general direction and it's 6 a.m. I feel like, you know, your brain might only be partially functioning. So I want to make sure everything is.
Mine's partially functioning now.
You're really going to miss those pre-show talks that we have.
Yeah.
Like, when was the last time you threw up?
You could have woken up and joined us, but you chose not to.
Yeah, it's my decision.
You're a little snobby brat and have to sleep till 8 o'clock. Whatever. See, this conversation was not planned.
Yeah,
that's the beauty
of it. It's
not
on the script.
It's not on the script. We do that old, the old Jim Rome here. Yeah. All right. There went today's lowdown.
Age two.
So Chuck and Matt?
Yes, they will be in on the lowdown on Monday, or excuse me, on Friday and Monday.
All right. So you could check us out tomorrow at 6. We'd greatly appreciate it. Of course, you can download the KHDK app on your smartphone, on your tablet, whatever it may be. And if you're not up with us at 6 a.m., you can listen to us at your convenience in the on-demand section. Saints and Falcons tonight. We're headed out to Atlanta in just about 2 hours. Atlanta ranks 31st in the league in rush defense and was dead last as recently as 1 week ago. Dan Quinn's team is allowing runners to convert on 69%. 69% of their third down carries, the worst rate in football by nearly 5 full percentage points. I say that because the New Orleans Saints are the third best rushing offense in the entire NFL. I'd start Alvin Kamara tonight.
Yeah.
I'd start Mark Ingram tonight if you got those guys in fantasy to get your playoff team going right. It was interesting to hear Nate think it could be a shootout tonight. There are very few shootouts on a Thursday.
Mm-hmm. Wasn't the Niners Rams about the one I remember?
That one was glaring.
Three, yeah.
Like that one was glaring. Now there have been points scored on Thursdays, but I would be shocked if this was I don't know what a shootout, are we talking 30s?
Both teams in the 30s.
I don't think we get there, man.
Yeah.
I don't think we get there unless the Saints, like, are picking up big yardage. And I don't mean long, sustained drives. I'm talking, and we've seen them do it, Kamara going for 70.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, maybe I And that's the other thing. It feels weird to talk about this with the Saints. Their defense is incredible.
It's been way better.
So Matt Ryan is going to have to pick them apart. He's going to have to make them buy into the run game a little bit, be able to utilize that play action. This is an intriguing game that the Falcons desperately need.
Yep. I normally like the desperate team, one, or the home team on a Thursday, too.
But
I'm picking New Orleans tonight.
Yeah?
Yeah. I honestly think they're the better team. Atlanta, I haven't loved the way they've played consistently through, so I'm picking New Orleans tonight.
I am too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Atlanta in this game. I love the way Atlanta's played.
Wait, Atlanta or New Orleans?
New Orleans.
Yes.
The Saints.
Okay.
I felt like I don't know what I was thinking. Yeah. Maybe I'm just going to argue with Jason here in the final seconds. No, New Orleans. I got New Orleans tonight. We'll talk about it, but again, we will talk about it tomorrow at 6 a.m. Please join us, and of course, if you're a regular Lowdown listener, listen at 12. Matt and Chuck will be here with you. We'll make sure that they don't suck. I absolutely promise. Thank you so much for being with us and chiming in today. We will see you tomorrow.